Hello and welcome to podcast number 29 of the Queensland Freemasons podcast. I'm Brother Luke Eland and I'm here today with Graham. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. I'm Graham Schultz, the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland, and we're here today in sunny Brisbane, Australia.
Yeah, it's actually raining, isn't it? It's not Sunshine State today. Look, today we're doing podcast number 29, and we are doing it on the topic of the history of the lodges in the regions. It's one of those things we talk about different types of lodges, but we specifically haven't covered the topic of regional lodges and some of their history, because it's quite fascinating to think that how large our state is bigger than most countries. And once you're saying, Graham, once you leave the eastern seaboard, wow, there's a lot of distance to travel between lodges.
There certainly is, and the United Grand Lodge of Queensland has two districts, one based on Cairns, the District Grand Lodge of Carpentaria, and also another at Townsville, the District Grand Lodge of North Queensland.
And just for some perspective, the District Lodge there in Cairns, the Sydney one's closer, and so is probably the Melbourne one to Brisbane than that.
That's probably right. And then when you think about our four or five lodges in Papua New Guinea, as well,
Hobart's closer.
Yeah, they're a long way from us, and we're a long way from them, but the good thing is that Freemasonry, makes up for all of that by what we do, and the history of how Freemasonry was established. And we were talking a little bit about this last time about the sesquicentenary of
150
Irish year. Of Irish Freemasonry. But if you look around the state, for example, and I'm looking at a book today which is available from the United Grand Lodge of Queensland. It's by Wayne Budgeon. He did it in 2005, and it's The Masonic Centres of Queensland. And he's got a picture, and he's got some information about all the Masonic centres that were around in 2005, largely still the same, and it's available for $20 from the Secretariat. But if you just have a look at some of the beautiful lodge buildings, like look at this in Barcaul.
Yeah, I put that one up on the website a while ago, and quite a few of these lodge buildings, so they're very unique. And the other thing is they're purpose-built and generally only used by one lodge, so they typically rent them out for other purposes and let the community use them too, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and I've never been there. I've never seen the lodge, but built in 1877, this lodge, and Comet Lodge meets there, and Comet Lodge is number 28 on the roll of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland. But it started in Rockhampton when they were building the railway line, and they built the railway line, and they moved the lodge warrant as they got, to a different stage along the line until they got to Barcaulden. So, wonderful, beautiful building. If you've seen it, it's a double story. It's a National Trust listed these days, formed in 1876. That's where the lodge was formed. And then they held their first meeting in Barcaulden in 1886. And the 1891 building was two-storied, made of iron, beautifully furnished inside. And it was built for a cost of £130 back in the day, But, that's Barcaulden. Places like Longreach as well, when you're really, getting out into the west, Longreach has got a fantastic centre.
Just on the topic of Barcaulden there, I just looked at my GPS. If we wanted to set out here to give people the idea of how large our state is, it would take Graham and I 12 and a half hours to drive there if we non-stop drove. So 1,081 kilometres here from Ann Street. So
amazing.
That's a long way. Sydney's probably about 990 kilometres from here. So
yeah, and it's not uncommon for Freemasons in the bush, and I'm a member of a country lodge, and I was initiated into a country lodge. It's not uncommon to drive for an hour to go to lodge. And some of those guys out further, like Barkey and Longreach, and that they drive for 3 hours.
I once shared the story that I went to a regional lodge in New South Wales and thought I'd driven the furthest there, but I'd only driven half the distance. I drove 4 hours. I'd driven half the distance. Some people drove to the Lismore Lodge. Some people drove from Bourke. So there's a sense of keenness in the country for visiting, I think, that perhaps is not quite the same as in the city.
Yeah, and lovely centres wherever you travel. Like even in Longreach, there's a beautiful Masonic centre,
That's twice as far as Buckle.
Yeah, well, it's on the same trip, built in 1929. They were starting out earlier than that, but, the First World War intervened, and Longreach was a flying fortress base for the Americans during the staging of the Battle of the Coral Sea. And the lodge was taken over as accommodation for the troops.
Yep, and also the home of Qantas, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or at least
Longreach, yep.
Part of the tradition of Qantas comes out of there. That's why they have the 747 Longreach.
Yeah, even John Travolta's been there.
Oh, really? I haven't, so he's more well-travelled than me in that regard.
You know, places like Meandara, for example.
Where's Meandara?
Meandara's out the Western Downs. And, you know, built in 1957, and they've always had, you know, a local kindergarten attached to the building and help. And
this is, I guess, about the purpose, because a lot of Masons spend a lot of time and effort and money raising the funds to build the building. They kind of generally don't want to just use it for their own exclusive purposes, because in communities that are small, it's often a central meeting point for a lot of places. If they don't have a town hall, they might meet at a Masonic lodge.
Yeah, that's right, and lots of people in, you know, in country towns, they'll hire out the lodge to other people to use, you know. A place like Blackbutt, you know, on the way up to Kingaroy, started in 1921. Beautiful little building in Blackbutt, and you know they've had a fine centre there for a long period of time, and another good one, Blackwater, for example. You know, they've got beautiful concrete block building, and you know they've got the signatures of two Grand Masters and two Grand Secretaries there. Esk is an interesting one. We're doing the reconsecration of St John Biara Lodge at Esk.
Yep.
125th year is happening in 2013, and you know they've got a lovely centre there. But you think about it, back in 1888 when they were getting together, and you know, back in the peaceful surroundings of Esk, some brethren from Caledonian Lodge petitioned the Scottish Masonry in Queensland to have a new lodge to base at Esk, and it was called Lodge St John Biara, and they had 10 foundation members. And at their first meeting on the 9th of March, 1888, they initiated 8 candidates.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
How many, like these lodges, do they have similar membership numbers as the city lodges? Because I'd imagine they likely would.
Yeah, some of them do. It varies, depending on, you know, how long the lodges have been around and, you know, they've all been very strong lodges in their, yep, you know, in their time.
And some of them are quite progressive. I know personally I've been building a website for the Gatton Lodge, and when I've had the time to sit down and look at a lot of their material, they really care about the history of their lodge, and they've documented an awful lot of it, and they've put that up for people to see, because one of the things that the regional lodges, in my opinion, are going to find it difficult to do is to promote themselves unless they become quite active online, because the tyranny of distance is no small thing here in Queensland, and it we've talked about it a fair bit in this podcast, but we're not trying to sort of like say to people it's really easy to travel from one of these lodges to another. So attracting new people to your lodge requires them to think about it carefully. So I was delighted when Gatton Lodge come and asked us to build a site for them, and it looks great. And if you want to check it out, I think you can go to gattonlodge.com, and that will give you an impression of what some of the country lodges are actually doing, and they're moving forward with their approach in just the same way that we are here doing a podcast, I guess.
Yeah, and the Grand Officers Association in Queensland are entering a vehicle in the Variety Bash this year, and it's going all through those areas.
Wow.
And it's going to Georgetown, it's going to Normanton. They start in Emerald and they head up all through the back through.
Hope they've got good seats. You're going to need to go far on those roads.
Through Blackall and all up through the top there. And Georgetown, you know, Georgetown has a beautiful centre as well, you know. The original hall used by the lodge, Sir William Wallace Lodge number 64, was built in Croydon, completed in 1889. It was damaged by a cyclone, funny that, in 1906. Meetings were postponed until they could be made again. And 1939, the lodge moved to Georgetown. And they purchased the Croydon Methodist Church Hall and moved it to Georgetown, and that's where it is on its present site, and that's the lodge building.
Hopefully with a stronger roof. I remember, speaking of roofs, I remember hearing on the radio when Cyclone Yasi was in Queensland in 2011, if I'm Ears correct. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, too noisy to sleep because of the rain on the roof, even here in Brisbane. And I heard someone call into the radio station in the local ABC radio station going, oh, there's no roof on the Masonic Lodge in Tully. And, I called Grand Lodge first thing thinking somebody would have beaten me to it, but the conditions were so harsh in Tully at the time that, nobody knew. We knew in Brisbane before they knew in Tully, and I think they were quite surprised at that. So, the Grapevine works really well still in the country lodge areas.
It sure does. And another interesting one is Quilpie, the lodge in Quilpie, which is a long way out. In 1973, they purchased a few head of cattle, out of the building fund, and they ran those, cattle, and actually bought the hall. And they used to do that all the time. You know, they'd run cattle, they'd raise the cattle, they'd sell the cattle, and that's how they funded their lodge for many years.
I think a lot of lodges in the past in particular, maybe not as much in our jurisdiction, not that I'm aware of, used to in many areas run businesses to actually fund the lodge or rent out part of their lodge building so that the lodge would not have the full burden of having to pay the expense of having a building.
I think you'll find that in a lot of, places like Caloundra, for example, they do that. They've got a very good situation there where they've got a lot of private tenants and they use that to offset the costs of running a building, which we all know is an expensive thing to do.
Yeah, I know. When I went to Lismore Lodge, we had to have our festive board at a different venue because they were renting out the bottom floor of their lodge. Because, again, these buildings aren't necessarily cheap to maintain and they're vastly spread out, so it's not like they can just have a building fund and easily.
I think it's interesting to note, too, just as to close it off today, is that the most recent new lodge that was built in Queensland was built in Roma.
Oh, right. When was that built?
2009.
That's quite recent. And that's the last one didn't blow down, did it?
No. They sold that and they built another new centre. So it's the last building to the latest big new building to be built.
I assume Stones Corner would have been it, but no.
This was that was the last one, the new one that's been built. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's an interesting insight into country and regional lodges and the history of them. And like we said, we've got a book here, Masonic Centres of Queensland. You can come and purchase it either through Ann Street or online soon. Hopefully we'll have something set up for that. The reason why people buy these books is they go travelling to all the lodges around the state as part of their plans for travelling, and they can plan their trips based on what they read here and make notes and make destination plans that they might not have thought about, because it's hard to find out where all these lodges are if you don't have access online or a book like this. So.
Yeah, and these booklets books that we've talked about today are all available in our library if members want to come in and have a read in the library.
Absolutely. So until next time, I think we should meet on the level and part on the square.
Shall do.
Thank you.